Hello, world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love. I'm your host, Don Hutchison. Every Tuesday, I interview someone from around the world who's discovered their talents to do work they love to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom.
Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Span Cordell. Welcome to the show, Span.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for having me.
It is a real pleasure. Span, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
Yes, yes.
Well, we're going to talk about that whole story in this whole interview because you've got an amazing journey. Now, a few words about Span. 68 years ago, Span Cordell's parents made a decision that was ahead of their time. They chose to treat Span as any other child and equip him to face life's challenges. Born with a disability, he went to elementary school, riding a tricycle to strengthen his legs, learned to swim, took driver's ed in high school, and was on the drama team. In 2007, he became a full-time employee at Walmart in Northwest Georgia. He's found it to be an excellent opportunity to spread disability awareness by demonstrating his workplace dedication and winning attitude day after day. Walmart has recognized his contributions by making him their spokesperson at other locations across the country. His hometown of Somerville, Georgia, held a celebration for him and dedicated a new art installation for disability awareness. But the best recognition is from the Walmart customers who stopped to talk and tell him that he always provides them with encouragement. Span strives to do the same for all of the disabled community. Well, Span, that is a summary of your amazing story. Is there any particular project you're working on now that has you inspired and motivated?
Well, several years ago, Don, Walmart gave me this opportunity to not only be an associate, but to travel, to do things that many, many associates don't get to do, whether they're able-bodied or disabled, and being a spokesperson for them, not necessarily on the official spokesperson, but it just sort of fell into place that being disabled, I got to go to the shareholders meeting for Walmart, and it just sort of snowballed from there. To this date, there's probably no disabled associate that has done for Walmart the things that I have done.
How exciting and what a great honor.
It is. It is a great honor, and I'm humbled by it.
Well, as you know, as we've talked about, everyone's life journey is a series of turning points or passages from early childhood until we leave this plane of existence. So let's talk about your journey from the beginning. Let's talk about the early days. Tell us about your family of origin and tell us about your mother and dad and what those early days were like. So just start with your mother or dad and tell us a little bit about them.
My mother and father, I am a member of a four-member household. I have an older brother who is 7 years older than I, and he's able-bodied, quote-unquote. He and I were raised together. I mean, we did everything the same. There was no differentiality between a disabled sibling and an able-bodied sibling. Ah. Whatever he did, I did. Back in the late 80s, when I was born, that was pretty much taboo. Ah. If you had someone that was disabled, they pretty much shut them off, kept them out of the limelight, kept them out of the public. My family did not do that.
Mm-hmm. Must have had a totally, completely profound impact.
As I say, they did not treat me any different. Well, of course, I had therapy, and of course, I had surgery and things of that nature to try to correct the disability, try to make it better. But as far as living a normal life, I never saw myself as any different than anyone else.
Wow, amazing.
They were definitely visionaries and actually did things before their time.
Yes. Wow. Well, growing up, coming through the educational system, what was it like in the school system? Were there other folks with your disabilities, or were you the only one in the class? And how was that handled by the teachers and fellow students?
When I was probably 4 years old, I was taken to Atlanta and given a battery of psychological tests to determine what type of education I needed, whether it would be special or whether it would be public education.
Okay.
I was placed in public education due to the fact the doctor stated that if I was put in special education, I would degress and maintain a level that was far beneath what I was capable of doing. So being placed in public school is where I ended up. As you mentioned, rode a tricycle for the first grade and a half, and then I started walking on crutches at that time. You know, everybody wanted to ride the tricycle. Everybody wanted to know why Span was on the tricycle. Nobody could understand, but everybody loved it. Everybody accepted it. And it's, as they say, history now.
Yes. Well, you saw how your brother and your parents and your fellow students engaged the world. How did you perceive that, or what aspects of the differences and similarities did you focus on when you were just a very young boy?
Well, as I say, at that time, I never saw anything any different. I mean, of course, there were things that I saw my brother do that I could not. In an article that I did several years ago, someone asked me, what's it like not to play baseball or basketball? Do you miss it? Well, I've never done it, so I don't know what it's like.
Right.
I saw myself as a member of my family. I did not see myself as somebody different, somebody that sat at one end of the table as opposed to the other. We
Yes.
were all together.
Yes, that's beautiful. How do you describe your condition to people?
Somebody asked me, you know, as you just did, how do you describe it? It is something I was given by God.
Okay.
And somebody's asked me one time, actually came in Walmart and asked me, if somebody could give you a pill or give you a shot so you could walk like everybody else and be able-bodied and do everything that everybody else does, would you do it? I thought about it for a minute and I said, no, I wouldn't. And the person asked me why. And I said, well, I may not be the person I am now if I could walk like you. God gave me this disability for a reason. I truly believe that.
Yes.
And have always been taught that everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
And until I find out what that reason is, I'm happy with it.
Beautifully expressed. When you were in the educational system, what subjects captured your imagination? Was it mathematics? Was it history? Was it literature? What part of it really got your interest early on? The disciplines of science and math and history and all, they're just profoundly different. And we're all wired with innate abilities and talents that are also different. So some people can take to mathematics faster than they can take to other disciplines. So what was your
My forte.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Basically, I detested math, actually. I was not good at math. I was not. Before I started school, my parents helped me learn to read. And we had a teacher that lived down the street from where I lived. And they took me down to her house. This is before I started public school.
Okay.
And so I could read to her. And she said that it was amazing that I was not memorizing what I was reading, that I was reading, that I could read.
Wow.
And that was a milestone. I've always been a voracious reader. My father said one time that anyone that is well read can do anything that
Yes.
they set their mind to do. I've always been that way.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's exactly right about that.
My education is probably one of the greatest gifts that I've ever had. To me, it's always been something that nobody can ever take away from you. You know, they can take your clothes, they can take your house, they can take your cars, but the education that you get, they can't take it.
Yes.
One more analogy, if I may.
Sure.
Several years ago, when my father was living, he passed away when I was 14 years old, and
Okay.
my mother when I was 40, so I've lost both my parents. My father years ago told me, he said, "Stan, one day you're going to be grown and you're not going to be able to go out and dig ditches and roof houses or pour tar on the highway. He said, you're going to need an education where you can sit behind a desk or use your mind to make a living." And that's something that's always stayed with me. It's still with me today.
Very, very wise words. Okay, so there you are in school. Where did you start in the hierarchy of classes?
My classes were just like anyone else's. Friends that have muscular dystrophy, which is another muscular neurological defect, we converse just as you and I are now. I mean, there's no necessarily no difference. We understand basically where each other is coming from, so there's no room for any pretense.
Through school, people get part-time jobs. I was a bag boy, as they said, at Kroger and did construction jobs in the summer just because my parents wanted me to develop a good work ethic. Were you able to get jobs like that?
I didn't really do anything in the workplace until I graduated college. Once I graduated college, my first job was at a local TV station here in Somerville. The man that owned the TV station was nice enough to give me a job. And I sat at a desk in front of a camera, as I'm doing now, basically, read local news, read the weather, read community updates, and things such as that.
He positioned you who you are and with the condition you've got so that the viewers and listeners would totally understand.
Well, that basically gave me an idea of what I wanted to do. I mean, you know, speaking in public, speaking on camera, speaking, you know, has never been a problem to me.
Okay.
Some people say that, you know, they get nervous, they get upset, they get anxiety. I've never been that way. I mean, you know, if you just open your mouth and it comes out.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
That's the way it happened. And then I left Channel 6, the TV station, and I became a state probation officer.
What did that entail? The state probation officer? That's pretty supercharged.
Oh, well, you have to carry a caseload of individuals that have been convicted and placed on probation, both misdemeanors and felonies.
Oof.
And you supervise that caseload and you make sure that they follow the court's conditions that handed down by the judge.
That's an incredibly complex role, to say the least, because of the disparate personalities of all the people and their crimes and everything. Why were you picked for that, do you think?
Well, that's just something that always intrigued me. It's always been something that has interested me. As a matter of fact, when I got in college, when I started, I majored in political science because I wanted to go to law school. Further, I got in college, I decided to go into the Department of Corrections to not necessarily law enforcement, but corrections. And I decided to become a probation officer. I was lucky enough to be able to do that and work in the Lookout Mountain Judicial Circuit, which covers the four county area of Chautauqua County, where I am now, Walker County, Dade, and Catoosa County. I covered all four circuits while being a probation officer.
What did you find as a probation officer looking at the different personalities and styles of these people?
Right. You've got to remember, you've got to understand that I did not see myself as being any different than anyone else. Sure, I walked on crutches. Sure, it took me a little longer to get to where I needed to get from point A to point B. But, once I got the individuals that were on probation in my office and started doing their paperwork, they were the same as I was. I mean, they were, of course, they were nervous. They were scared. They didn't know what was going on. And all they basically knew is they had to do what I told them. It was fun. It was interesting. I enjoyed it. I did it for several years. And then I got married, moved to Texas, and did probation work in Texas.
That interjection of you getting married, that's interesting. How did you meet your wife?
I basically met my ex-wife on the internet, truth be told. One thing led to another, and we got married. And she was originally from Texas and wanted to move back. So I picked up and we moved to Texas, and I went to work for the Corrections Department in Texas, which is the biggest in the country, actually. That was quite a step for me.
What was the next role you had in your career?
After I divorced in Texas, I came back, and the probation jobs in the state of Georgia, you have to basically wait on somebody to die to get those jobs. They don't come open often. Once somebody gets them, they pretty much stay the 30 years and retire. So, not having a job, I applied to Walmart and went for an interview and was hired on the spot. That was in 2007. Next month, I will start my 19th year with Walmart.
And then look where you are now with the position they gave you and your capacity to speak all over the country, and you're really just getting that launch. Can you imagine what's your vision going forward about how you can take your talents and your abilities and make the world a better place for people of all kinds of backgrounds?
This is a great opportunity for me. It really is to tell everyone basically some of the things that I've done. People will say, "Well, haven't you done enough?" Well, no, I haven't. Basically, what I want to do, what I would like to do or love to do is public speaking. Sure, I've been a spokesman. Sure, I've made inroads. Sure, I've done things. Now I'm doing a podcast, but I want to get on stage. I want to travel. I want to speak. I want to show people that if you're determined and you persevere, there's nothing that you can't do, whether you're disabled or able-bodied. It's a mindset. A lot of individuals that are disabled don't have the opportunity to express themselves, and I'd like to show them how to do it.
Have you thought about writing a book?
I have actually thought about doing that, and I've got notes like you would not believe, but I just have not sat down and put it all together. Maybe that's a future endeavor.
What a great story. It's just a delight to connect with you. What would you like our listeners to know about you going forward?
Well, basically what I can tell you, my defining moment, I guess, would be that several years ago, when I started with Walmart, there were no service dog teams in the company at all.
Oh.
My service dog, Finn, and I were the first. We were the very first service dog team in the company. And now, present day, Walmart is in, I believe it's 47 or 49 different countries, and there are service dog teams all over the world. As bad as it sounds, egotistical, if you want to say, I like to think that maybe we had something to do with that.
Oh, sure you did. What's your dog's name?
My dog's name was Finn. I had to have him put down about 7 years ago. He was 14 years old. That's old for a service animal. It bothers me to this day. And I have not gotten another one. If it's in the cards for me to have one, I will. But right now, I just haven't done it.
Well, what an amazing story. What an amazing life. What an amazing vision span, Cordell. How can listeners connect with you?
My website, of course, spansworld.com. I've got an email address. Of course, I'm on Facebook, Span Service Dog for Facebook. I'm on Instagram.
Okay, good. We'll put all of that on the webpage.
Listeners also know you can go to discoveryourtalentpodcast.com, click on podcast in the nav bar and find the show notes of this excellent interview. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We can't ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.